Well, hey, good morning, Buckhead Church. So good to see you. We've never met before. My name is Matt, and I get to lead our college ministry and our next-gen directors here at Buckhead Church as well. Get to oversee them and lead them. And I want to dive right in today. There's a common response that I've been hearing from people a lot recently. I don't know why, but I feel like in the last year or so, I hear this response all the time, it seems like. And it's a response that I hear from people really of all different ages and stages of life. I hear this response from teenagers. Like, I hear it from high schoolers. I hear this response from young adults and college students. I hear this response from parents, from even grandparents. And it's a response to a question that is a really a common question, like almost an expected question that you're just kind of supposed to ask when you see someone. And so I'll see somebody and I'll ask them the question. I'll say, hey, how are you? Like, how are you? And the response that I hear from people almost all the time, it seems like, is this right here. I'm tired. I'm tired. How are you? I'm tired. And typically my natural inclination is kind of to want to like say out loud or at least think to myself like, oh, you just, you know, not sleeping very well. Or, oh, you have little kids at home that are like, you know, keeping you up or waking you up. Or, oh, has work just been kind of stressful? It's one of those seasons. And sometimes it's one of those things. But more often than not, when they say I'm tired, when someone says I'm tired, it's that type of fatigue that you're like, man, I don't even really know. It's that type of tiredness that I can't really just like sum up. In fact, when you start to say more, if you say more, and you start to kind of talk through why you feel like your response is, I'm tired, before you know it, you've said a whole list of things like, well, I think it's my job, you know, it's relationships, it is kids, it's family, it's finances, it's disciplines, like the gym, it's my schedule, it's homework, it's weekend plans, you know, I don't have a free weekend until like the new year, you know, it's Netflix shows just catching up so that I can stay, you know, caught up with all the conversation in the office. It's really just life. It's life, and I'm tired. I recently went to an Atlanta Hawks game with a great, great group of guys. Went with a few guys here from the church and guys that I love, that I respect. And we had a great time. And we had some really good seats. We get to the game. Game starts at 7:30. And we had some really good seats. And in fact, our seats actually came with free food as well. And so we get there and we're like, oh, this is awesome. We get, you know, some food. And then we go to our seats and we get to our seats and we're like, okay, let's just, you know, relax, enjoy the game. It's a great view. And then we quickly noticed, all of us noticed that our seats, each seat had its own USB port where you could charge your phone. Now, none of us brought our phone chargers with us to the Atlanta Hawks game, but we thought this was amazing. Like, we all looked at each other, and it's like, forget the food, forget the salmon. We're like, you could charge your computer if you wanted to. This is unbelievable. So next time you go to State Farm Arena, bring your charging devices and your, you know, your computer and everything with you. You can charge it up, people. But I'm like, this is amazing. And so we're there. We're enjoying the game. It's awesome. Hawks win. It's a quick game. I look down when the game ends. I look at my phone and it's 9:30. I'm like, 2 hours? Like, maybe it's been a minute since I've been to a game, but that felt quick, you know? And we're leaving. We had a great time. And we're walking out of the arena. We're going up these steps. And I think to myself, man, I am so tired. In fact, I turned to the guy next to me. It wasn't just like a random person. Like, it was one of my friends. And I was like, hey, man, I was like, are you tired? And he's like, yeah, I mean, I'm okay. But I was like, I don't know. Maybe this is just how I know, like, I'm growing up, you know, like, but I'm exhausted. And so I just want to ask you that question this morning. Are you tired? Are you tired? Maybe not like in every area of your life, but in certain areas of your life. Are you tired? Maybe you'd say, well, not like right now. I feel pretty good today. But when I begin to think about what's coming up, when I think about the holidays and the upcoming travel, the to-do list, the meetings that I have this week, then I get a little bit tired. Are you tired? What about when it comes to your faith? Because it's very possible to get tired in your faith as well. Like, it's not just in life with family or with work. You can get tired in your faith. Today, we conclude a series that we've been in for the past couple of weeks here at Buckhead called Family Matters. And this isn't like a parenting series, not a marriage series. It's really not even a series that's so focused like on your immediate family, but it's a series that's much more focused in on the family of God. And a couple weeks ago, April Farmer kicked off this series for us with a great message, and she talked about who is our family. And then last week, in part two of this series, our lead pastor, Joel Thomas, he talked about why is family important. And so if you missed either of the first two parts of the series, I encourage you to go back, catch up on YouTube or podcast, wherever you consume content. But this morning, as we conclude our series in Family Matters Part 3, I want to explore the question, how does a healthy family operate? So we talked about who is our family, why is family important, and today I want to talk about how does a healthy family operate? Because come on, you know this to be true. The reality is there's no such thing as a perfect family. It doesn't exist. It's not possible. However, it is possible to pursue a healthy family. And healthy families do a number of things together, but healthy families often like they laugh together, right? Healthy families cry together. Healthy families will challenge one another when appropriate. Healthy families encourage one another. Healthy families, even when it's hard, they choose to love one another. Healthy families are made up of all those characteristics, and we can even say more things about healthy families. But today, I want to talk about two key functions of a healthy family. Two key actions that I believe are really woven into the DNA of the family of God. And so today we're going to look at a text. I'm going to take us to a text that's found in Exodus chapter 17. And I believe this text that we're about to read, it clearly illustrates in a pretty practical way these two key functions, these two key actions that really should embody, should describe, should define the family of God. But before we dive in, let me give a little bit of context. There's this group of people known as the Amalekites. And the Amalekites are the enemies of Israel. And the Israelites have just come out of captivity in the nation of in Egypt. And so they are on their exodus out of Egypt, and they are constantly being attacked. The Israelites are constantly being attacked by the Amalekites. And so this is when we pick it up in Exodus chapter 17, beginning in verse 8. It says this. It says, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Now, this is the first time that the Amalekites have attacked the Israelites. And so they come, they kind of blindside them, they attack them. Text goes on, verse 9. Moses said to Joshua, first time we see Joshua's name appear. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So this was an unprovoked attack from the Amalekites against Israel. And it's their first battle. It's the first battle that Israel faced after leaving Egypt. And Moses instructs Joshua. Joshua was the mentee of Moses. He was going to be the future leader of Israel. Moses says, hey, Joshua, I need you to go and fight. I need you to pull together a group of men, and I need you to go fight this battle against the Amalekites. So the text goes on. It says, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went to the top of the hill. So Joshua fights. He goes, he listens. He's like, all right. He goes and gets a group of guys together, and he goes and fights the battle. While Moses goes to the top of the hill with Aaron. Aaron is the brother of Moses. And with Hur. Hur is believed to be the brother-in-law of Moses. It's believed, it's not for sure, but it's believed that he was married to Miriam, Moses' sister. Now, I'm asking the question while reading this text, why do the three of them go to the top of the hill? Like, why didn't they go into battle? Why did they go to the top of the hill? Well, there was really three reasons why. Number one, they went to the top of the hill to see, like to look out and to be able to gain a perspective on this battle. So that was the first reason to see. Second reason, to be seen, to be able to kind of give some oversight and some direction to the men, to the people who are in battle. So to see, to be seen, and to pray. They went to the top of the hill to boldly pray for their people, for the nation of Israel as they fought this battle. And the text goes on, it says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. So as long as Moses keeps his arm raised, his hands raised in prayer, the Israelites seem to be winning. They seem to be advancing. But whenever his arms begin to lower, the Amalekites seem to be winning. They seem to be advancing. I want to pause right here and just say this. There's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. Some of you today, you are experiencing things that generations before you planted seeds of in prayer. And today you're walking in it. There's power in prayer. I can imagine that Moses, while lifting his hands and looking out over his people, he is boldly praying, saying, come on, Lord, you see what they're up against. You see what's going on. God, give them the strength. No, God, give them the direction. God, give them the courage to keep going. He is boldly praying over his people. So let me just step out of this story for a second and ask you, are you tired? Come on. Do you find yourself in a battle today? I don't know what it might be. Maybe it's an internal battle, a battle in your mind. Maybe it's something external. Holidays are approaching. Maybe it's family drama. That's the battle. What's it going to look like? How long are you going to spend here? Are you going to go there? We've been there. What would it look like for you to go up on a hill and gain some perspective? To see the battle, to see the situation from maybe a different vantage point. What would it look like for you to take action with what's in your control? And then boldly pray and ask God to move in a way that only he can. You do what you can control and trust God to do what only he can control. Or maybe it's not a battle for you personally, but it's a battle for a loved one or a close friend. It's a battle for a coworker or a teammate, someone in your community, someone in this community. And maybe it's an opportunity for you to encourage them, for you to give them a different perspective, for you to jump in and help, for you just to commit to praying for them in this season. It's clear from this text that there was great significance that came from Moses' ability to stay engaged in this battle. Like, the Israelites needed him to stay engaged. They needed him to stay focused. They needed him to stay locked in. Now, you may be thinking right now, as I'm thinking when I'm reading this text, okay, pause. This is Moses. His whole story hasn't played out yet, but we kind of know his resume, right? Like, if you don't, let me just catch you up to speed. Maybe you've heard about some of these stories. Moses, the one who parted the Red Sea. That Moses. Moses, the one who gave the Ten Commandments. That Moses. Moses, the one who was a part of the burning bush moment. How crazy would that have been? That Moses. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, that's great. I'm not Moses. Like, that's awesome. This is powerful. But I'm not Moses. But what if I told you that while God used Moses in profound, significant, great ways, God can and desires to partner with you and me in profound, great ways as well. Moses was human, just like you and I. And if you're like, I'm not sure. Like, I know, yeah, technically he was human, but Moses is different, man. Like, you know, it's Moses. Well, let's keep reading the text. Check this out. When Moses' hands grew tired. Hey, Moses, how are you? I'm tired. Maybe not that much different than our response today. How are you? I'm tired. When Moses' hands grew tired. There it is. Moses grows tired. Uh-oh. So what happens next? Before we find out what happens next, I'm thinking, oh, maybe what happens next, like if you were there in this moment and you see like Moses is tired, you could be thinking, okay, I know what happens next. Moses' hands, they grow tired and they lose the battle. He couldn't do it. You weren't good enough. You weren't strong enough. You didn't have what it takes. Oh, no. Maybe it's Moses grew tired and he lost all influence. Because the people were relying on him. He was the leader. And we all know what that's like to be looking up to someone as the leader. And they grow tired. They're not pulling their weight. And it's like, it's on you. Moses must have lost all influence in this moment. The people were like, you're not the guy anymore. You were, but you grew tired. And so you don't have what it takes anymore. We knew you weren't actually him. Moses grew tired. And no, maybe it's this. Maybe God just turns his back on him. Maybe the Lord's disappointed with him. Because he's like, really, Moses? Really? I don't know how long this battle was, but Moses, you couldn't stay engaged just while this battle takes place. You see your men out there. You see the people. You see that they need you, and you're going to grow tired? Maybe God's disappointed in him. Let's keep reading the text. When Moses' hands grew tired, this is amazing, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. BC community, don't miss this. Family matters. Family matters. Moses' hands grow tired. And so what do they do? Aaron, his brother, and Hur, potentially his brother-in-law, or at least a close friend, they come and they get a rock and they put it and they're like, Moses, take a seat, man. We got you. And then they go and they hold his arms up so that his hands remain steady. And they're like, we got you. We're with you. Hey, who holds your hands up when you grow tired? Who holds your hands up when you grow tired? Whose hands are you holding up when they grow tired? Too often, we try to remain on our own strength. Too often, you and I, we try to remain steady on our own strength, on our own will. But we weren't designed to operate in this manner. We were wired for connection. We all need people. Exodus 17, verse 13. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. He wins. The Israelites win. Defeat the Amalekites. Because of this moment, right? Like, the battle is won. Moses had to pray, but Joshua had to fight. Moses had to pray, Joshua had to fight, and God was at the center of it all, getting all the glory. I love this. Because it reminds us that prayer must lead us into action, and our actions should reflect our prayers. Too often, we pray for things, we ask God to move, but then we don't move. And I wonder if God's like, hey, if you really believe I'm gonna move, then start moving. Prayer should inform our actions, and our actions should reflect our prayers. I love this quote from pastor and theologian Charles Spurgeon. He says this, prayer is a downright mockery if it does not lead us into the practical use of means likely to promote the ends for which we pray. Moses had to pray. Joshua had to fight. And in that partnership, God is in it all, leading them, guiding them, receiving the glory. So they win the battle. Verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. So the Lord says to Moses, hey, write this down. Write this down. Record what has happened. Record what you have seen. Why would the Lord tell Moses to write this down? Well, it's because we are prone to forget. We're prone to forget. We're prone to forget the ways in the past that God has shown himself faithful. We're prone to forget the ways in the past that God has provided at just the right time the people around us that we need to hold us up, to help us get through a season. We're prone to forget. So the Lord says, no, I want you to write it down because I don't want you to forget. I want you to remember my past faithfulness. So you'll have confidence as you walk into your future. You'll have confidence as you again grow tired in the future. You'll have confidence as you come up against another battle in your future. He says, write this down. Goes on, it says, Moses built an altar and called it. I pause right here because I'm a sports fan. Any sports fans in the room? Yeah, amen. You're a big sports fan. You're like, woo, yeah, that's great. I love it. I want to go to a game with you sometime because it'd be fun. The rest of you who didn't say anything, you're not as fun to go to the games with, but it's cool. I kind of feel like this is like that post-game moment, right? This is when like the team wins. They got the star player or the coach on the sidelines, like moments after the game ends, which I always feel like is a little bit unfair to like, you just win and like seconds later, they're like asking you some deep question and it's like your response is gonna be blasted out to the world. But it's that post-game moment. It's like, okay, Moses, you just witnessed this. You built this altar. What are you gonna call it? Maybe it's the day that Joshua became him. Which all the young people in the room are like, yeah, that'd be kind of good, man. I like that. The more mature people in the room are like, him, what are we talking about, you know? Maybe that's it. Like, maybe that's the headline. Maybe that's the story. Maybe that's what Moses needs to say. Maybe it's, no. What it is, it's the victory of the Israelites, the dominance of the Israelites. Maybe that's the story. That's the narrative. Maybe it's the game-changing perspective. This would be an opportunity for Moses to be like, hey, let me just take some credit here because, yeah, I know you saw Joshua out there in the battle, but what you don't know is me and Aaron and Ur, we were up here. We were really guiding the battle. You know, we were praying. In fact, there was this crazy thing. When my arms were lifted, we were winning, but when they lowered, you know, like maybe that's what it is. It's like that's the narrative. You know, that's what I need to name this altar. It's like the day that everything shifted because of the game-changing perspective that we had. No. Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. It's not Moses is my banner. It's not Joshua is my banner. It's not Israel is my banner. It's the Lord is my banner. Don't miss this. Family matters. Family matters. Aaron and Ur showed up for Moses. They held his arms up when his arms grew tired. They showed up and they held up. These two actions of showing up and holding up one another, these are woven into the DNA of the family of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes this in the New Testament in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. He says this, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ." Paul's like, carry each other's burdens. And in doing so, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ summed up to love God and to love others. He's like, you want to do that well? You want to love me? You want to love others? You want to love God? You want to love others? Then carry each other's burdens. It's not complicated. Look to serve others. And in doing so, you will fulfill the law of Christ to love God and to love people. Jesus comes from heaven to earth, and he models this as well. He knows that we as humans would grow tired and that we would carry around burdens, things that feel really, really heavy. And so Jesus, God in heaven, doesn't just say, look, just figure it out, okay? I've made you smart enough. You can work through this. You can figure it out on your own. No, God's like, hey, I'm gonna send Jesus from heaven to earth. And then Jesus is here on this earth. And look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are tired and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are tired, all of you who are burdened, who are carrying something that feels heavy, and I'll give you rest. I'll help you overcome. I'll help you step into the victory that you're seeking. It might not look the exact way you think it should look, but trust me, I'll be with you. In fact, you know what I noticed in this text just this week, and what I noticed in this story that we just read in Exodus 17, is that the posture of surrender is the response of victory. Think about it for a second. What is the posture of surrender? It's the universal posture of surrender. I've got little kids at home, and guess what? Whenever they surrender, whenever they just need their dad, what do? Dad, from a young age, you don't teach them it. It's not like, hey, when you need me, this is what you do. Hold those arms. No, they just know. I need you. The posture of surrender looks like this. But then what's the response of victory? What does it look like? It looks like this. We did it. Man, we overcame. Oh, just go to a football game. Some of you were at a game yesterday or on Friday night, a high school game maybe, and your team's winning. Woo! The posture of surrender is the response of victory. So come on, lean in as we begin to wrap up and turn a corner this morning. Two actions that we saw today. And we can't miss this, Buckhead. We have to lean into this. This is what it means to be a part of the family of God. Healthy families show up. Healthy families show up. You may or may not realize this right now, but today on this campus, there will be over 1,000 kids and students that show up. And there'll be hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that show up as well to serve, to encourage, to support, to love on them. Healthy families show up. I'm tired, yeah, but I'm gonna show up. Got a lot going on, yeah, of course, we all do, but I'm gonna show up. I'm gonna prioritize being here. That's why I think there's power in the gathering. It's because, yes, you're coming to receive. Yes, you're coming to worship the Lord. Yes, you're coming to draw near. Maybe you're not there yet, but like you're asking questions, you're going on this journey. But man, there's power in showing up. Because ultimately, when you show up, it's not about you. Like, when you show up, you can also be in a position now to do this. Healthy families, hold up. When you show up and you come with the mindset that, hey, I'm not just a consumer, I'm not here today just to receive. Oh, how'd the music sound? Well, there wasn't the full band today. I didn't really love that, you know, but, or maybe you did. Hey, it's not about that. Oh, you know what the message, it wasn't Andy or even Joel. It was Matt. somebody in the room was thinking it. Just had to say, it's cool. Andy's starting a new series next week. let's come back for that. Hey, when you come in with the mindset that I'm showing up, and man, God, if there's an opportunity for me today to hold someone else up, show me it. Because man, that's when church gets gritty. When you show up and you're walking around, not just thinking about what do I need? Because at some point, you're gonna need someone else to show up and to hold you up. So when you come in with that mindset and like, hey, how are you? Hey, let me really lean in. Hey, can I pray for you? Hey, can I encourage you? Hey, I've been there. In fact, let me just wrap up with this story. This past Monday, I lead our college ministry. I mentioned that. And this past Monday at the living room, that's the name of our college environment, we gathered. And I'll just show you a picture. Nearly 1,500 college students in this space. I only say that number to tell you God is moving in wild ways. The largest college gathering we've ever had here at Buckhead. Almost 1,500 students, room packed out. College age adults from campuses all across our city. All across the city. At the end of the night, it was the night called Friendsgiving. So I was on a stage, on a couch, talking with three people in our community. And they were sharing their stories, powerful stories. And a couple of them, one of them right now serving down in Wambaland today, the 11 a.m. service, I believe. Another one serving in transit, our middle school ministry today. Pretty awesome. Those of you who give, who invest in this church, thank you. We shuttle in a lot of these students. We send usually around 15 charter bus shuttles to 8 different campuses, bringing in close to 700 to 800 students each week who don't have transportation otherwise to get here. So those of you who give, I'm just telling you, your money's going to really good work on Monday nights in our city. So at the end of the night, we all step forward from the couch. And we have this moment where I just encouraged everyone, hey, kind of as a community that feels a whole lot more like family, I think it'd be powerful for us just to kind of lock up in prayer. And we prayed for one another. And here's a picture of that moment. Students holding each other's hands, students putting an arm around each other. You can imagine the power in this. 1,500 college students, stressful time of the year, finals approaching, holidays coming up, anxieties on the rise. They're locking up with each other. In fact, we just paused. It took me aback for a moment. I was looking around the room and I said, hey, look around for a second. I said, put this picture in your mind when you feel alone, when you feel like you can't do it. Remember that you're not. Put this picture in your mind. I was speaking to the next generation of Gen Z. I was saying, hey, this is the church. This is what it means to be the church, to not just show up to church. At the end of the night, two people come walking down. I'm down right down here, standing right down here. Two people come walking down towards me, and the guy I've met before, he's a young man, I'm like, okay, I've seen him before, I know who he is. But he's come walking with a friend of his, and he's like, hey, I just want to introduce you, Matt. This is my friend Jada. And he's like, this is Jada's first time here tonight. And he said to me, she didn't really want to come tonight, to be honest. And she's kind of there like, I didn't, you know. And he said, but I just went to her room and I knocked on her door and I was like, hey, you're coming. And drove her here. And she enjoyed it. He said, but I really just felt like she needed to be here in this community because 2.5 weeks ago, on November 1st, he told me Jada lost her dad. Now pause that for just a moment. I'm then standing hearing this, and out of the corner of my eye, I see my wife, Ann. And we're in a busy season. We've got a lot going on, kids at home, little ones. But Ann has prioritized every single Monday night finding a way to show up and be in the room. And so even in this busy season where she's getting the kids down, it's craziness, babysitter comes over every Monday night, hey, just make it happen, you're good, you know, we're praying for you. You know, like, that's how I feel. Shout out to Sarah, you're great. Anne shows up. She was there in the room on this Monday night. I see her out of the corner of my eye, and I just kind of step back. I'm like, hold on a second. Step back, and I'm like, hey, Anne, just come down. She comes walking down, ends a conversation she was having with another student. She comes walking down, and I said, hey, Jada, I want to introduce you to my wife, Anne. I said, Anne, Jada just lost her dad a couple weeks ago. And I said, Jada, this is my wife, Anne. I said, and she knows what it's like. She lost her dad when she was going into her senior year of high school. And immediately, no words are spoken, but they just hug one another. And they're both crying. They hug for about a minute. And you could just tell in this moment, Jada's arms are being held up. It's the power of showing up. What if Ann said, I'm not going to show up tonight? She would have missed an opportunity. Could the Lord have still worked in another way? Of course. But man, what a moment. What a moment. She showed up and then she got an opportunity to hold up. Then they eventually talked a little bit and then Ann got to pray over her. And then Jada said, you could tell it was like the burden had just gotten a whole lot lighter. Pain was still there. It was real. But she looked and said, you know what? I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back the next time we gather. Powerful. Hey, I wonder if there's some of you in the room today that came in and you showed up today and you didn't want anyone to know that you weren't good. You didn't want anyone to know that you were tired. You certainly weren't going to tell anyone that. In fact, before you got out of your car, you looked in the mirror to make sure you had your church face on, right? Walked in, praise God, brother. Yeah, it's awesome. Man, so good to be here in the house of the Lord, you know? Worship happens. Internally, you're not good. But you're loving this hour or so that we have together. Because you can kind of step away from that. But then you know, as soon as you get in your car and drive home, it's like, oh, there it is again. You're tired. You're burdened. And that's okay. It's even okay to come in and not feel like you need to tell anyone. Not feel like you have to share it. I understand that. I've been there. But I just wonder, a message like this, got a little bit of time before we dismiss. I just wonder if we could give the opportunity right now to just practice. We don't always get to do this, but just practice what I just preached as a community. This is different. We don't get to do this a lot. If you're here for the first time, we don't do this often in this context. But I wonder if for someone in the room today, if you're just tired, I wonder if you would feel led and just have the courage and the vulnerability in a moment just to shoot your hand up as a way of showing and saying to the people around you in this community, hey, I'm tired. Hey, I'm burdened. Hey, just like Moses, I can feel my arms lowering. Or you know what? Maybe they're all the way down. I can't seem to pick them back up. Or I can see that coming. I'm not there yet, but man, it's hard. And I know the holidays are approaching, the end of the year is approaching, and it's coming. And I'm worried, I'm concerned. So in a moment, I wonder what it would look like. I don't have this response opportunity perfectly envisioned or mapped out of how this is going to go. But I just wonder what it could look like if you just were willing to just shoot your hand up. And I don't know if it's just a couple people. I don't know if it's a lot of people. But then I wonder what it would look like for the people around you if you're willing and if you're comfortable with this to maybe even just like put a hand on your shoulder or maybe just extend a hand in your direction towards you as a way of saying, hey, we are here and we want to hold you up. Yes, God is with you and he's the one who you've ultimately got to find your comfort and your rest in. He's your source. But man, oftentimes God speaks to us through other people. God loves to use his people to hold up his children. And so even if you don't have a relationship with the Lord yet, even if you never put your faith and trust in him, I just want you to know God sees you, God loves you. And so I'm gonna pray and close this out here in a minute. But come on, let's lean into this. I already see a couple people shooting their hands up before I even get the opportunity. It's probably more people than we think in this community who feel this way. If you're tired, if you're weary, if you feel burdened, you feel overwhelmed, you feel stressed, you feel anxious, carrying something with you today, you can feel your arms coming down. You just shoot your hand up where you are, even up in the balcony. You're a part of the community. Shoot your hand up. Yeah, I see quite a few hands going up. And keep your hands up for just a moment longer. If there's someone near you, again, if you're willing, if you're able, you don't have to do this, but if you're willing and able, if someone near you with a hand up, would you just put an arm on their shoulder? Maybe if you're in the section, someone near you and you can't get to them, would you just maybe just reach it, like extend a hand towards them, letting them know I see you, I'm here for you. Man, this is a powerful picture right now. Like you can't see everything and I can't either because of the lights, but all across the room, people are just saying I'm tired. And all across the room, people who are part of this community, a part of this family, I just need you to know that this is a community here at Buckhead Church that oftentimes when we're at our healthiest, for me, it's felt like family. It's felt like family. Like my wife's side of the family's in South Carolina, my side of the family's in Missouri. Man, this has been our family since moving to Atlanta. This community, this family has walked through some seasons with us. And so if your hand's raised, I just want you to know, man, this is the family of God coming around you. And if your hand is on someone's shoulder or if your hand's extended towards someone, I just want you to know this is the opportunity we have every single time we gather to show up and to hold up. And so come on, let me pray for us. God, you see us. How amazing is that, God, just to soak in that reality that you, the God of the universe, that you actually see us today. And God, you're proud of us. Even though you know we mess up and fall short oftentimes, more often than we probably even realize. God, you love us. And your love is not dependent on what we can do. Your love for us has been determined. You've already spoken over us. We're your sons, we're your daughters, we're your children. And so God, I just pray today for every single person that has a hand raised. Every single person who is vulnerable enough to say, I'm tired. Or even for the person, God, who they're so tired, they couldn't even muster up the strength to raise a hand this morning. You see them and you know where they are. And God, I pray today that as the family of God, as we conclude this series, family matters. I pray that we'd be reminded that family matters and we're all a part of that family, God. If we put our faith and trust in you, we're a part of the family of God, Lord. Every single person in the room today is a part of this body, a part of this community here at Buckhead Church, and we all have a part to play in this body. We're all of value in this community. And so God, today we hold up our brothers and sisters. We hold them up and we point them to you. And God, I pray for someone in the room today who's tired. I pray that this would be a moment, this would be a time, this would be a day that is sealed in their memory, and a day that they come back to often as a visual reminder that they're not alone, as a visual reminder that you see us, as a visual reminder that there is power in the church, there's power in community, there's power in the family of God. There's nothing like it. I'm so grateful for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.